It was a Sunday this July. We had just finished worship, and we were downstairs having coffee, and someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You need to see this." And they handed me an envelope. Across the front, it read, "I care for you." Yeah, sure. And when I opened it, I discovered 15 pages, mostly handwritten, seeking to address our congregation's stance on inclusivity, specifically our open and affirming stance towards persons who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered. I said, "Okay, did someone leave this for me?" They said, "No, they left that on every single car within a block and a half of the church." Okay, then. The person who sat down to write this believed they could change my and all of our hearts through what they wrote. Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to the safety of the people who call this place home, I take everything very seriously. And the Denver police agreed with me that there was nothing in the letter that indicated any threat of physical harm. But I was still very bothered that someone would violate the welcoming, safe space we seek to create here. So I sat down and I read the whole thing. It took several tries and some antacid. I read the whole thing, including the appendix. Yes, there's an appendix. Though it only took about 2 sentences into this document for me to know what all 15 pages said. Misinformed biblical interpretations, unsupported theological assertions, and bigoted opinions stemming from fundamentalism and extremism. It's not the first time I've heard or read these things. But it's the first time someone dropped that on our doorstep. And it was also the first time I encountered one specific phrase. It came towards the end. "I pray that you will listen to the voice of the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, and not the voice of a false prophet who is headed for eternal damnation and trying to take you all with him." Wow. I mean, I am aware that there are people who disagree with the way I do ministry. I've made a lot of progress in therapy, learning that everyone doesn't have to like me. But this, I mean, this was a whole new level. It's unlike anything I'd ever encountered before. False prophet? Eternal damnation? Taking the whole church with me? I didn't know what to say. I wasn't sure if I should be offended or a little bit proud. But it got me thinking. I will tell you that. It got me thinking. How do you respond to such a statement? And not just personally. This has congregational implications. This is about all of us. How do we respond to such a statement? And I don't say it's all of us just because apparently I'm taking you with me. Such a statement implicates the integrity of our ministry together, each and every day, in all of the ways we share in ministry. And this pamphlet author is not alone. There are plenty of people in this world who would disagree with the way we go about living out God's love. Not as many of them are willing to say it to our faces or write it out and hand it around. But that thought's out there. So how are we to respond? Well, I decided the best way to figure out a response was to see what Jesus recommended. I'm a pastor. That's my answer to pretty much anything. Let's go see what Jesus says. But you know what? It works. Jesus discusses this very topic in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says this: "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but they are vicious wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds? Or do they get figs from thistles? No. In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces rotten fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, I tell you, you will know them by their fruit." So there you have it. This is our test. What is our fruit. The concept of bearing fruit is a very farmer, agrarian kind of way of asking, okay, what do you have to show for your work? When a tree is planted and cared for and nurtured over time, there is a point where those who are supporting it must ask, are we getting anything out of all that we're putting into this? You can see which trees in this neighborhood are well cared for, because they bear things beautifully. There's a moment we have to ask, are we getting something out of all that we're putting into this? Is there fruit? After a few years of fertilizing and watering a tree, there should be something good that is brought forth, and it should be plentiful. And this is true of congregations and people of faith as well. How can we be known by our fruit? This is the phrase that brings me to discussing this letter during a conversation about Hearts for Ministry. The first week of Hearts for Ministry, we discussed legacy and how God is continuing to work within us to complete things that have already begun. There are deep roots in this place. Last week, we reflected on possibility and how we need to be ready to respond to all of the amazing ways God keeps showing up. There are great blossoms on the branches of this community. And this week, I wanted us to think about what is coming to be all around us right now. Where are we bearing fruit? Is there good fruit that can be seen? Though I don't think anyone who's considering making a commitment to this church, I don't think you're sitting around going, should I support this church or are they all going to hell? I don't think that's actually the question that's reflected on as people sit with a pledge card. I do believe, though, if we're going to stand here and invite you to offer what you have, what you do, and who you are, if we're asking you to offer all those things and trust what you treasure to this place that we might turn it into world-changing ministry, every single one of us should stop and consider if this church is bearing fruit with what it's given. That way, when we give in all the ways that we do, we're intentionally making a commitment to see something more come out of what we offer. We should give with the expectation that something will come from it. Something good. Something for the world. When you consider Highlands United Methodist Church, what do we have to show for all that we have been given and entrusted with? I love this question. We're supporting the work of the church at a global level to eradicate malaria, find a cure for HIV/AIDS in this lifetime, bring education and clean water to children around the globe. We are a part of a backbone of a far-reaching, well-equipped disaster relief organization that's the first to respond when people are in trouble. We as a congregation are active throughout the communities of Denver to feed the hungry, provide toys for children, offer job training, birth certificates, and IDs for those who desperately want to work and seek to support themselves but need help getting over those first hurdles. We partner with the local Head Start program to give needed school supplies. We are working to offer direct support and housing to homeless families. This is our fruit. And every time we do these things, we invite the neighborhood to join us. We are helping good people in this community do the good things that their good hearts are longing for. And we're able to do this because we continue to build a reputation in this community as, and these are quotes, that church that loves everyone, that church that helps people, that church that's always doing cool stuff. People are coming to know and trust this community as a place to be a part of good things. Folks, this is why we host neighborhood events every chance we get, to help build community and foster relationships that allow us to multiply everything we do. This is our fruit, but it's only the beginning. I continue to discover more and more stories of fruitfulness. I love when someone looks at me and says, look, I think I'm still an atheist, but I come here every week because I love the values of this church and the way you put them into service in the world. I love that. This is how we bear fruit. I'm touched when someone who's been with us the last year and has just started to build some connections and relationship finds out they're about to move to a different place and writes on their Facebook wall, Highlands United Methodist Church is one of the places I will miss most in Denver. I know we're bearing fruit. There is a reason the sanctuary looks more and more crowded than it used to. There's a reason we're running out of room for the kids to sit up here during children's time. There's a reason Christina has had to get extra pages for the church calendar. It's because we're bearing fruit. When the smallest among us realize that they're tall enough to be an acolyte, which, by the way, is the only requirement. You have to be tall enough to reach the candle. When the smallest among us realize they are tall enough to be an acolyte, and they carry that light down the aisle for the first time with a smile that I swear is bigger than their face, I know that we're bearing fruit. When the kids are in Sunday school doing science experiments to learn about faith, when they're learning about forgiveness from a flamingo named Frank, when kids tell their parents, "Is it church day? Is it church day?" I know we're bearing fruit. We bear fruit when we create space for children to ask hard questions. We're bearing fruit when we create space for adults to ask hard questions. That's another story I love hearing. When someone can tell me they give thanks for a place that they're not told what to believe, but are instead encouraged to ask questions and explore their faith without judgment. When I hear those stories, I know that we are bearing fruit. When we honor and respect the uncertainty, the doubts, and the questions of life, we are bearing fruit. When we spend time in conversation in classes, and just in the last year, that considering prayer, books of the Bible like Genesis and Exodus, classes on meditation and finding peace, when we want to learn about the early church and how all this thing we call the church came to be, those learning opportunities are fruitful. I was amazed to see 25 people at the very first week of our homosexuality in the Bible study. 25 people at a Bible study in the summer? That doesn't happen. So if I was amazed at those 25, imagine how out of my chair I was when I looked at the number of folks who were either listening to the podcast or reading the curriculum on our website that numbered into the hundreds. Our work for inclusivity reaches into places that have deep and far-reaching implications. When we took out ads supporting marriage equality, despite the United Methodist Church laws, I knew we'd shake things up and make a few waves. We knew that would happen. What I didn't know is that it would lead our bishop into convening special small group conversations in which I heard pastors from all across Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah discuss how they were growing into more inclusive people and they were beginning to lead more inclusive churches. I heard pastors, this was just 2 weeks ago I was at this meeting, I heard pastors who 3 months ago would have disagreed with their own words say that they are ready to choose their covenant with God to do justice over their covenant to uphold church law. Because they know that's what God is calling them to do. Right now there are 3 churches who at this very moment are following our congregational model of having the entire church, starting with the committees and then moving to the administrative council and eventually the whole church conference like we did, they are working to have their whole church support their pastors in performing same-sex weddings. They saw what we did, and they're coming to us to learn the steps and seek advice to do the same thing. Not only is our ministry bearing fruit here, it's bringing forth fruit on other trees and other places. The Rocky Mountain Conference of the United Methodist Church will never be the same because of the ministry of Highlands United Methodist Church. There is nothing false about this prophetic work. If you want to know about this congregation, I am more than glad to use that phrase. You will know us by our fruit. Because it's there. Our bishop, Elaine Stanofsky, she's fond of talking about ministry as, she calls it, cultivating the tree of life. I love this phrase, cultivating the tree of life. I love its image of God bringing forth great and good things through ministry and then trusting us to nurture and cultivate them. And as we consider the fruit this congregation brings forth, I want to invite each of us to see ourselves as caretakers of this fruitfulness. We are invited to cultivate and nurture this fruitful place. When we offer what we have, what we do, and who we are tilling the soil, watering the roots, and fertilizing the future of this ministry. We are cultivating the tree of life as it brings forth so much fruit for the world. Each month, my wife Megan and I, we give $450 to United Methodist Highlands United Methodist Church. We do this because we have seen the fruitfulness of this community of faith. I am more than comfortable to let that electronic funds transfer take our money and put it into the amazing work of this congregation. And I tell you, we have been blessed by it. And more importantly, it helps us bless others. Megan and I talk about our giving and realize that we are better people and we get to help make the world a better place because we're a small part of making this place fruitful. And what we give, what each and every one of us here gives, grows into something more. When I first opened this envelope, I was angry. I all too quickly began to judge its author and their stated desire to try to change our hearts. But then, just as quickly, I decided there was no way they could affect my heart. But I was wrong. My heart is different because of this. This misguided rant and all of its brokenness and fear should motivate each and every one of us to ask the question, is Highlands United Methodist Church, is it a congregation that has something to show for itself? Is there fruit? Can we be known that way? And when I stop to consider the amazing, the plentiful, the even bountiful answers that come up to that question, my heart is affected. My heart is warmed. My heart treasures the ministry we share together. My heart treasures the way God is working with us and through us and in us. And I pray that your heart feels that way too. Amen.